It's showtime.
With Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And running. It is the 12th day of December 2017. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that is, of course, where you go if, in fact, you would like to be part of the Madcap Merry Multimedia Zany Wacky real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. You're welcome to join in, of course. Everything is free. Now, why did that do that? Everything's free. Just take yourself out a free screen name and a free password and jump right in, and you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Arthur and Silent R. Lamar and, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. And there's VP Blom popping into the room. Welcome, welcome. More will be along shortly. The tardy bell is nowhere near ringing, even if we had one, which we don't. We're not all authoritarian here. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I just wanted to let you know that, well, it's a mite brisk in the studio this evening. We're on the way down to 13 degrees Fahrenheit here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Virginia, Stan. And I got a little bottle of propane going. Got a couple more to get through the night with. Real briskish here. With any luck at all, I will retain feeling in both hands and feet until the end of the program. God, it ain't, you know, like Kermit the Frog said, it ain't easy being green. Yeah. Right, as Arthur says, yeah, free password? Damn straight. Most places charge for the password. Not us. We don't charge for nothing around here. This entire program is free. We've never charged anybody for anything here, so we live on the kindness of our community. Oh, dear, not the Southern accent, please. Well, I guess we're going to be dealing with that tonight, aren't we? Yeah, it's probably a pretty solid bet that we are. Let's see. First things first, we have thanks to send out because we have subscribers. And because of our subscribers, what was a $100 shortfall last night was actually only a $50 shortfall. And for that, we have Christopher to thank, as well as having Angelica in Oregon to thank. Not to mention Mark in Minnesota. Thank you, Mark. And Gary in New York. And finally, but not leastly, Paul in California. Those five folks made sure that a $100 deficit was just a $50 deficit. And so consequently, we come into the evening with only, he says, only a $250 fundraising goal for this Tuesday, this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. You recall Titanic Tuesday, of course, named after something that happened many, many years ago now, when our buddy Jim was listening to right-wing radio and heard the morning monotone over there, whose monotone was in fact stunning. Could stop a clock, hypnotize a clock with his own voice. Yes, Steve stopped reading the newspaper to his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers long enough to take a call from someone who said, "Steve, how come it is you reckon that they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near to the ocean." To which Steve responded, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Thereby providing us with the name and the theme of what we all now know and love as Titanic Tuesday, that kind of right-wing thinking that leads the captains of massive steamships to say things like "full speed ahead" into that there iceberg up there. What could possibly go wrong, right? Yes. It is still no word, I might add, no word whatsoever on the mint muddler there on the Titanic. Nope, not a blessed word. So there you have it. We've got a $250 fundraising goal for the evening. And with that said $250 fundraising goal, we'll stay even 12 days into December. And it's really nice. The front end of December, and it'll begin to taper off now. The front end of December is really, of the month, I should say, not just December, the front end of the month is nice because that means that most of the nights when we ordinarily wouldn't raise our fundraising goal, our subscribers pick up a whole lot of the slack. So thank you. Thank you, one and all, to our subscribers. And I don't know how to put this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because, you know, I despise fundraising. I despise talking about this. But the audience, the Horn Family Community Congregation, is substantial. It's not huge. It's not, you know, wingnut radio huge. But somehow or another, if we could just... Let's put it this way. There's enough that if you know, everybody, and I know everybody's not able, but if everybody subscribed at $10 a month, I would need never say another word. As it is, we're just looking for 400 people to subscribe at $10 a month. Just 400. And we have the devil's own time because we can't quite get to 100. So maybe consider that, because it would make my life considerably more tolerable. It really would, because sweating this stuff night by night by night is the one thing that isn't fun, that isn't enjoyable about this entire process. Okay? So if you want to become a subscriber, there's two ways. Click on the little box there at the PayPal interface at headonradionetwork.com/contribute that says make this a recurring monthly donation. You know this drill. Or go over to patreon.com, patreon.com/BobKincaid, BobKincaid, and become a subscriber that way. And in either instance, the amount of support that you're kicking into this program comes to about 15 cents an hour of programming. Less than 50 cents an entire show. If we were beset by a sudden onset of capitalism and decided to sell the podcast, for instance,
it'd be 99 cents on iTunes. Because, you know, Apple's got to get their cut.
Right? Because Tim Cook otherwise would have, I'd have to look out the window and see him staring in at the lavish lifestyle that we live here. Shareholders got to get theirs, y'all. It seems ever so much simpler just to do it this way and not be burdened with advertisers and instead let the have the community. I mean, isn't it better off? Isn't it better than, you know, constantly asking you to go and buy shit from other people? Or buy shit from us? Which reminds me, have we talked about, well, something that could really perk up your day? Something that could get you off and running without any worries about chemical addiction or chemical harm. Well, let me take a moment to tell you about something new from the hardworking peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals. That's right, Achromas achocha. Achromas achocha from Horn Nutraceuticals will do anything that you imagine it possibly could, because it's all on you. This is, after all, a bullshit nutritional supplement from Horn Nutraceuticals. Achromas achocha has a full day's supply of achocha tucked into every handful. And if you act now and order a 3-month supply of Achromas achocha, well, then we'll send you a bundle of little test strips so that you can find out in the privacy of your home and with or without anyone you care to invite that Achromas achocha is everything we promise you it will be. Namely, absolutely nothing. Absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. But you've got to order the 3-month supply to get the little bundle of meaningless test strips. Achromas achocha? Well, by golly, we work hard to make sure that our achocha is gluten-free, free-range, cruelty-free, cage-free, vegan, and non-GMO. And trying to find non-GMO achocha is a job in itself and keeps the hard-working scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals on their toes, I can assure you. I've never cared much for achocha, but thanks to thanks to Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, by the way, thanks to Horn Nutraceuticals, you can get your achocha on without any sort of worry or hassle whatsoever. Achromas achocha. Accept no substitutes, post no bills, use no hooks, this side up, FOB, COD, ASPCA, Achromas achocha, only from Horn Nutraceuticals. Yes. Okay. So that gets most of the stuff out of the way. It'd be great if we could raise the $250, 10 at 25, 25 at 10, 1 at 250, 2 at 125, 4 at 62.50, 8 at 31 and a quarter, etc. You know, and I don't have to mention this throughout the rest of the program. Please? Yeah. Hey, let's start with a note from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line: Did I hear that Nectarine Nero called for a return to the moon and future use of the moon as a base for Mars exploration? Wasn't W laughed out of the room for the same suggestion? Now, being a real fan of space and space travel, how am I supposed to feel about this? We don't have any heavy lift vehicles. We have to use the Ruskies to supply the space station. We're about to buy a used SpaceX booster for a future project. It would be nice to reinvigorate NASA, but wasn't it the Republicans that defunded the organization? Ron, I'd like to say that you're 100% correct in that, but one of the shortfalls, one of the failings of the Democrats over in the modern era has been their ambivalence to space. Because what you'll most often find is, we can't afford that 32 cents that we spend on NASA, because we can put it into other things that we like better. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. I'd like to see a real space program. I'm bummed out at the fact that we don't have one, and that somebody somewhere decided somewhere along the way that, oh my goodness, gracious sakes alive, we'll just let the private sector have it. That's just begging for trouble. But that seems to be where we are. Now, I guess, and I remember once driving by it, there was at one point in time, and this was a couple of years ago, and I think they were fading even as we saw it then, there was a huge... A huge operation there on the banks of the Tennessee River, somewhere around Decatur, Alabama, where they were building the next, or working on building, or thinking about building the next generation of heavy lift vehicles. But now NASA doesn't have, and frankly, space doesn't have a terribly effective lobby. And anybody whose only motive is pure capitalism, where space is concerned, is going to fall short, because it's going to be plagued by the same things that always plague capitalism. That's very true. Wait a minute, we've got an early cowbell here. Yes. The only space program, says Silent R. Lamar, is between Donald Trump's ears. So true. So true. But you've got to have a space program that's interested in more than profits, or else you wind up with the kind of dystopian shit that you that we see in various and sundry science fiction books and movies and series and stuff. Getting a note from Les. I see a picture of a booster vehicle. Will it open? It remains to be seen. Let's see. The SLS Orion. On August 7th, 2014, the SLS Block 1 passed a milestone known as Key Decision Point C and entered full-scale development with an estimated launch date of November 2018. In April 2017, NASA announced that the schedule for the maiden flight would slip to 2019. But then again, if the Nectarine Nero says that he wants a space program, you can bet that it is for no proper purpose. And that somewhere, somebody along the way has plans to make a whole bunch of fast bucks off of it. The biggest part of the problem with that being the number of people who can, you know, be killed by avarice. Huh, Les says my next door neighbor is working on the tower for this. That Orion, I think in fact that's part of what they were working on. Or part of the booster system they were working on there in North Alabama. Long a home to the space industry. I told you more folks would be wandering by after the tardy bell. There's Matador and Steve from Georgistan. There's Hoghead. And like I said before, Earther. So come on by. It's a fun little conversation in there. But of course, I've mentioned Alabama, haven't I? Yep, sure enough. And having mentioned Alabama, of course, the election is well under election day is well underway today. What was probably going to be a sleepy little weirdly dated plebiscite has become well, the hottest ticket in the United States. Right. And the ugliness started early today. Just so you know, whichever way the results go, when the results come in, the usual Republican skullduggery is hard at work. Let's see, what sorts of things. There was a last-minute court victory saying that optical images of the ballots had to be preserved. And then there was a last minute by the court system saying, nah, don't neither. So whatever the tally comes out to be, it's really going to be difficult to ascertain whether that really is the vote. So there's that. Being as how, with the excuse of it's election day, we also have the dubious distinction of seeing public transportation shut down in places like Birmingham for people who might use public transportation to, I don't know, get to their polling place. So that will further have some suppressive effect on the vote. And then there's something I learned about today, and you can find a lot of this stuff on my Twitter timeline, at Bob Kincaid. There's something called the inactive voter list, with a number of voters showing up today and being told that they had been moved to the inactive list and therefore weren't really that fully, completely, totally, you know, registered to vote. And in order to fill out the form that would reactivate you, you had to be able to remember, and not everybody can, the name of the county where you were born. Now, let's say you were born somewhere in Wisconsin, and your mom and dad had to move to Alabama when you were an infant, and you never lived in Wisconsin, and you never had any reason to know that you were maybe born in Dane County. Well, if you showed up under those circumstances today, you were screwed. And if you wanted to whip out the little computer you carry around in your pocket and look it up real fast, well, that's illegal once you enter the polling place in Alabama. Phones are illegal. So your only hope was to know all about this in advance and deal with it accordingly. Naturally, there was not a hell of a lot of information put out in advance to let people know that they would be facing this. Long lines at polling places in historically black precincts, and understaffed and underprovided with voting booths. How about that? Meanwhile, white folks just in, out, you know, go in. Vote for the child molester and go out. And then there was the way the ballot was set up. This is a one-race election, right? Well, oddly enough, the Alabama ballot today had, go figure, two questions on it. Do you want to vote Republican or Democrat? And then it was, do you want to vote for Roy Moore or Doug Jones? This, of course, provides another means for election officials in Alabama to invalidate the vote. Yeah, I can see where that would be a problem. Arthur says, hey, why does this machine say Mr. Shredder? Sir, it's just a cute nickname. But why does it make those shredding noises? Well, that's democracy in action, sir. Yeah. Here, a little... Now that I'm using the televangelist mic, by the way, is the jingle coming through? I don't know. And then finally... All those things are things that are only going to apply to people with skin darker than that of a grocery store brown paper bag. These are not things white folks are ever going to have to worry about. I saw reports of long lines at polling places. I saw confirmation that from other people who noted that in a state like Alabama, yard signs really are a barometer. Well, no, yard signs are a yardstick. That's a much better image. And Jones to Moore yard signs are 10, 20 to 1. This, however... is no indication. But they may have a rather sizable turnout. It's all a matter of who turns out. And the lunacy has continued. I don't know if you Did you catch it? I'm not gonna torment you with it, but did you catch any of the video from the Clavering rally that Roy Tola Moore held last night? The one where Kayla Moore got up and started talking about something that really wasn't being talked about. Not that it shouldn't be talked about, but just wasn't. The focus has been on the sexual power proclivities of Roy Tola Moore, his taste for little girls. And so naturally, Kayla Moore, who is apparently Atne Ute Aitbre, if you own a what I eme, got up and said, and people have even tried to say that my husband and we are anti-Semitic. Well, I'll have you know we've got a Jew lawyer. Oh, really? We've got a lawyer who's a Jew. She said it in public. And sometimes we pray with, we have Jew friends, and we pray with a rabbi once in a while. I mean, it's pity about how he's going to hell and everything, but we pray with him, and when we're not around him, we pray for him to find Jesus. We do. But we've got a Jew lawyer. Yes, Matador. Yes, absolutely. When I heard that one, I immediately thought back to the words of Geezer Disgustus when he said, "I only want little guys in yarmulkes counting my money." Right? And although it was early in the morning, it seemed to sort of cap the entire event. I saw a video and there was something about the video
that made me think that if there'd just been a little bit more time, it could have had a soundtrack. Let me see if I've got it right here. I sure hope that I do. There we go. Yeah, that's the stuff. Because the video camera was focused on the crest of a hill somewhere near Gallant, Alabama. And up over the crest of the hill rode, I wish I was making this up, but I'm not, Roy Moore. On a horse, followed by his lady wife, who was, long before she ever became his lady wife, was just a little 15-year-old girl doing a tap routine that he happened to go and see at a dance recital. Yes. And they rode and they rode, because they ride horses to go and vote for Roy. Now, if your name's Roy and you're riding a horse to the polling place, you might almost halfway expect that maybe the horse's name would be Trigger. But not this Roy. Oh, hell no. Because, well, Roy is firmly in the hands of the goddess of irony. Roy's horse was not named Trigger. No. And we all know the terrible, terrible joke, don't we? The terrible joke whose punchline, because I'm just going to do the punchline. I'm not going to waste your time on the joke. Pardon me, Roy, is that the cat that chewed your new shoes? Never mind. You would have thought a guy named Roy would have a horse named Trigger, but no, in this case, Roy Moore has a horse named... Ah, wait for it. Sassy. Sassy's about 12, 14 years old, I'm sure. That's when they make the best riding horses. And the entire internet erupted in gales of glee, because there are special moments. There are special moments when you get an opportunity to use a colloquial piece of English in its proper context. And this was that moment. I don't know how many people I saw. I heard it from Agnes, 90 miles away. I saw it on a post by Sister Carol Baker. And on too many places on Twitter and Facebook to even begin to count, as people looked at that video of Roy Moore riding Sassy to go vote and declaring, fuck you, Roy, and the horse you rode in on. To which I'm sure Roy responded, not till we get back home. That is Scott with a note. Roy Moore on his way to vote, proving conclusively a jackass can ride a horse. Oh, well played. So, okay, you get one too, Matador. Surprised his horse's name wasn't Puberty. Oh, I don't know how hard I can laugh without making this microphone go all to pieces. But damn, you know that was good. That really was good. On Puberty, on Tab. And, you know, sometimes Galaxy Quest references sub in for Star Trek references here. And so here's the deal. If you've got anybody, this is a good time. You know, you don't have to turn off the program or anything. If you know anybody in Alabama, make sure they voted, because polls will remain open for another hour and 25 minutes. Yeah. They close at 7. That is what I've read all day. But if you are in line when the polls close, they cannot prevent you from voting. We need to be clear about that. Absolutely, positively clear. So that's that's kind of where we that's where we are. That's where it stands. Now, if you watch the for-profit media today, you know that it was it wasn't wall-to-wall Roy Moore, because there was another story. We'll get to that. Oh, hey, thanks, John. John just jumped in to take the fundraising goal down to $240, and that's much easier to calculate. 10 at 2, 10 at 24, 24 at 10, 1 at 240, 2 at 120, 4 at 60, 8 at 30, 16 at 15. Thank you, John. Thank you very, very much. I didn't realize that. Had Nixon, Robert, who is a space fan, following up on Ron's query. Had Nixon not killed Apollo, the USA might have built the Sea Dragon. A super heavy lift rocket that could have put the International Space Station up in orbit in one go. It was a two-stage rocket with both stages being reusable. It would be built next to the ocean, towed out to sea, fueled until it sank and was vertical, and then launched. The area around the launch site would have to be empty for a few hundred miles in every direction because of the noise. It had 80 million pounds of thrust compared to the 7.8 million pounds of thrust of the Saturn V. That's fascinating. Thank you, Robert. I thought about it. Earther says secret. I know what the bumper is. I went to the desert on a horse with no name. It felt to be good to be out on the range. I thought about that early on. It may yet happen. I don't know. No, the news cycle was dominated not merely by the Roy Moore story, but by another story that we'll get to, and this being Titanic Tuesday, we also have some manifestations of Titanic intellect and, you know, failed democratic strategery and things like that. No word yet on how many precious Sparkle Fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade members are sitting out the election in Alabama, you know, because Doug Jones isn't Bernie Sanders. Never mind the fact that Bernie Sanders style politician couldn't get elected dog catcher in Alabama, but we dealt with Alex last night. But here's it is Titanic Tuesday. And I didn't realize that Pat Buttram, who starred as, or co-starred as Mr. Haney on Green Acres, I didn't realize that he had, well, it kind of, it makes sense. He was from Alabama. Pat Buttram was, and so you figure there's going to be some distant kin out there somewhere. And damn, because the Moore campaign sent out a guy by the name of Ted Crockett, who, if you find an image of him, say, on the internet, you'll see that, at least to my mind, he bears a striking resemblance to Mr. Haney, which is somehow fitting. By the way, did I mention, you know, Apple? I saw yesterday Apple has purchased Shazam. I couldn't help noticing that they waited until after Gomer Pyle had passed away before they did that, because Shazam was strictly Gomer Pyle's word up until the very end of Jim Neighbor's life. Shazam! Yes. Well, that was the overture. Robert wants to know, what was that music? They used it in Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail. Yeah. Well, that's because that was the overture to Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And Robert got it immediately. So in the video of Roy Moore riding off to vote, was he followed by someone banging coconuts together? Brave, Patsy. Sadly, no. It would have made much more sense had there been. He's got two empty aisles of coconuts, and you're banging them together. Anyway, the Roy Moore campaign sent Ted Crockett, whom no one has apparently ever taught to tie a necktie, or maybe that's just his dinner bib, I can't tell. Supper time, Ted. Got my bib on. To explain the world to Jake Tapper, who's, you know, not a Christian. Jake Tapper does not have a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's one of those people, you know, the ones that people like Ted are going to, we talked about this last night, one of those people that Ted is going to get to gig like a frog when Jesus says, stick 'em, after he comes back. Yep. And there's only going to be 144,000 left. And so it's going to be tough jobs. It's going to be tough. Only your best evangelical Christians are going to be able to get in the gigging brigade to do that little dispensationalist premillennial the Holocaust. But they sent Ted Crockett to do battle with Jake Tapper. And I thought, this being Titanic Tuesday, it would be more than appropriate to use some of the audio therefrom. Okay? And it goes on for a while, but there is some world-class Titanic white wing thinking in all of this. Yeah, bear with me, shall I, please? Okay, thank you. Here we go.
Take a listen.
When I saw these pictures on the advertisements of my opponent, I did not recognize any of those people.
Sure.
I did not know them.
So did he know them or did he not know them? Because we've gotten different
Jake,
messages.
Jake, this is a smear campaign. That's all this is.
What is?
Doug Jones is a lawyer. This is the only thing he understands. Lawyers are like this, okay? Washington Post.
Ooh, time out. Time out. Jack, okay, time out. Jack, okay. Jake. Did you catch that? Doug Jones is a lawyer. That's all they know how to do is tell lies. And I realize that there are time constraints on these interviews, but I hate, unless you're rooting against the team at bat, I hate it when a big old fat hanging curve just wanders slowly across the middle of the plate, and whoever's standing there in the batter's box doesn't send it completely out of the stadium, let alone out of the field of play. Doug Jones is a lawyer. This is the only thing he understands. Lawyers are like this, okay? The Washington Post, Gloria Allred, this is simply a smear campaign of accusations. That's all it is. Mr. Crockett, not to put too fine a point on it, but isn't Roy Moore a lawyer, too? He's a judge. But he just... Yurik! Stand there and watch it blow past. Yeah, but let's... Never mind. Let's just go back to it, shall we? Yes.
Gloria Allred, this is simply a smear campaign of accusations. That's all it is.
Well,
Roy Moore's going to win this election tonight.
Yeah, I'm just asking...
Of Alabama understand that.
I'm just playing Roy Moore's words.
They understand it.
I'm playing Roy Moore's...
How is it that you're the person whose show it is, and you wind up on the defensive from a guy who looks like Mr. Haney? Well, Mr. Douglas, I realize you don't want to buy the cow, but I'll just leave the cow here because she seems to like it so much.
Words. In one, he says he knows one of the accusers. And the other one, he says he doesn't know any of the accusers.
He
and
said if. He said if.
He said if what?
He said if. We were all...
Oh, it depends on what the meaning of if is. I'm so old, I can remember when Republicans had straight-up purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissies and kittens with crocheted tails over somebody quibbling over a two-letter word. But, you know, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R.
Gobsmacked when this story hit, Jake. Mm-hmm. It takes a while when you have pain like that come after you and you're being lied about and you go on the radio within 24 hours or TV. He used the word if, okay? All you're trying to do is smear the man. Everybody in Alabama knows that. We're voting today. We're going to vote for Roy Moore.
He keeps using that word, everyone in Alabama. I don't think it means what he thinks it means. Because whatever the turnout is, the margin of victory is probably not going to be over 10 points. I'd be surprised if it was 2 points. If Doug Jones wins, well, who knows? And you know, the anticipation is palpable, isn't it? I guess this is going to be kind of tough on the podcast crowd because... This is real-time stuff, and we're waiting now, and by the time people are downloading this, it'll be a done deal. But, well, it's a live program, and that's how live programs work. But if, he said if he knew him, that he didn't sexually abuse him, if. Yeah, except for the fact that he didn't say if about all the.
We're tired of this. We're ready for Merry Christmas, Jake.
So here's the thing.
Oh, he worked a Merry Christmas in on the Jewish TV feller. Oh, maybe he'll come to Jesus now and have a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ because he done told him Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. This is 200 proof madness.
I get that you want to make this about the Washington Post and the elite media and all that.
It's I'm not really knocking you, Jake.
I didn't say I get that you want to knock me. It's almost like old Ted Crockett over there, Mr. Haney, is carrying on a conversation that exists only in his mind, and all poor Jake Tapper can do is watch.
I'm just asking questions. The nine women who have accused the judge are all Alabama women, and there are a lot of prominent Republicans, including Republicans from Alabama, who have said that the allegations they think are credible, including Senator Richard Shelton.
Not the majority.
Republican leaders in Alabama. Shelby, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the Alabama governor, Kay Ivey.
You can always cut a sheep out of the herd. You can always do that.
These are shepherds. These are leaders of the Republican Party in Alabama.
And it ain't a herd, it's a flock. Flock you, Ted Crockett. Jesus, these people.
Just take a listen.
I think the women are believable. I have no reason not to believe them.
That was Richard Shelby. The next voice you hear will be the evil Keebler elf, who is the Attorney General of the United States of America, to wit, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Pud.
I have no reason to doubt these young women.
And this voice is that of the now governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey, who became governor of Alabama because Republicans in Alabama can't quite keep their hands off of the Republican women in Alabama. And Robert Bentley, formerly a deacon of the First Baptist Church of Tuscaloosa and governor of the state of Alabama, got caught in a recording saying to a woman not his traditional family values, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, anti-sexual wife, that he sure did like it when he got to put his hands upon her breastises. This is Kay Ivey.
Certainly have no reason to disbelieve any of them.
What's sad is what she said afterward. Well, I have no reason to disbelieve any of them, but I'm still voting for Roy Moore. Ew.
So that's three incredibly prominent Alabama Republicans.
That was 3 weeks ago, Jake. In the meantime, a lot of information has come out. Go back and ask some of them again.
Well, the Shelby interview was just 2 days ago on Sunday.
Ooh, that stings.
Are you saying
I know the Shelby interview. I don't get Shelby, okay? I just don't get where he's coming from. No, but nobody in Alabama does right now.
Nobody. There he is with the nobody in Alabama again. Not a single person. Why, I know at least 10 people in Alabama who probably would be rather offended to find out that Mr. Haney here is trying to speak for them.
No, you're speaking for a lot of
people.
And
it won't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Roy Moore's going to win the election tonight.
Well, let me ask you about some of his policies, because it's possible that he will win. Judge Moore, he's also made some controversial comments about Muslims, and I want to play some sound from that. He also made some comments, controversial comments about homosexuality.
And we're gonna go through this now, with the understanding, of course, that the evangelicals in Alabama share Roy Tola Moore's, you know, worldview. They agree. And to the extent that, you know, Ted Crockett agrees to the extent that nobody's, you know, when nobody's watching.
Listen to this from 2005.
Okay.
Do you think that homosexuality or homosexual conduct should be illegal today? That's a yes or no question.
Homosexual conduct
should be
illegal. Yes.
Should be illegal.
Yes.
Does Judge Moore still believe that homosexual conduct should be against the law?
The reason people support...
Okay, here's a hint for all the future interviewers and all the future campaign surrogates out there. When the question is yes or no, and you go babbling off, it becomes pretty obvious that you don't want to answer the question the way you know that your candidate would answer the question. So, you know, try to wander off and cut yourself out of the herd, meh, or moo, whatever.
Judge Moore in the state of Alabama is because he's a biblically based custom law of the Bible. The most
custom law of the Bible, is that like, you know, getting custom wheels on your, you know, 1984 Trans Am? Custom law of the Bible. Well, it kind of is, because these people have a Bible that they read selectively. It's a customized Bible. It's only got stuff in it about Homer sectionals and nothing of none of that business that where Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi was wandering around talking about don't shit on the poor all the time. That's not in their custom Bible.
Mosaic English law. Homosexuality is a sin in the biblical sense.
Mosaic English law, homosexuality is a sin in the biblical sense. The only relationship between that sentence and sense is the fact that he used it in it, because it doesn't make any. Mosaic English law? I mean, I've had some passing familiarity with the history of the development of the English common law, and it don't come out of Moses. It comes out of some rather prosaic, mundane things like kings worrying about their soldiers injuring each other in practice, and who gets compensated and how. It develops out of, you know, the first tort is trespass, and then later on you get trespass on the case, which are different critters, but neither of which is to be found in any of the do's and don'ts of the Old Testament. But, yeah, homosexuality is a sin. You know, unless you're a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual who happens to be sinning in the privacy of your own home, and you're a deacon in the Church of Christ or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or whatever, and nobody's watching, and you don't get found when your wife comes home from visiting her parents with two wetsuits on, a butt plug in your ass, and your mouth stuffed with, you know, a penis gag, dead. Then it's probably a sin if you get caught dead.
That is where Roy Moore is in the state of Alabama.
Well, does he believe that the Christian Bible should be the law of the United States of America?
This country was founded on the Christian Bible.
No, it wasn't. But he can't answer that question either, Mr. Haney can't, because the answer would be terrifying even to some Christians. Because back there in the Old Testament, they always running around stoning people and lopping things off, and God's ordering people to murder entire ethnic groups and save all the virgins so they can be properly raped by the priests, and yeah, it's in there. But he can't really say that on television. Because, see, then you give the game away.
This country was on the Mosaic Law, the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jake.
Just once, I'd like to see somebody who's Jewish look at one of these people and go, "Hey, bub, it's our book, not yours. Fuck off." Note coming in from Scott and Punky. Subject line, Mosaic English Law. Let's face it, even with a fully functional World War II Enigma machine, it's a daunting task to make any goddamn sense of anything being said by Roy Moore or his defenders. Yeah, you've got to have your secret decoder ring from your box of magic Jesus puffs. Yeah, that's the cereal that even after it's soggy, 3 days later, it'll be crisp again.
This country has a separation of church and state, and we have laws that are not rooted in
Jake, why did you wander into that with separation of church and state? That's putting a hanging curve in his across the plate for him. He can park that one.
There's no such thing. The words separation of church and state do not appear in the Constitution. It's not right there. That's just something the godless liberals done made up that was taken out of context from a letter what Thomas Jefferson once wrote to the Danbury Baptists. All of which is literally technically true. But that's where your right winger will ignore the body of law, the body of decisional law that says, yeah, we're not gonna let the government really ought not be run by any one particular religion, okay?
The Christian Bible,
Jake,
we have laws that
you
are.
You don't understand.
You don't understand, Jake, because you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're gonna burn in hell because you're Jewish, boy.
I think I understand perfectly.
You don't understand.
Here's my question for you.
You do not understand.
Here's my question for you, sir. Does he think that homosexual conduct should be illegal? It's a yes or no question.
Probably.
Probably. It was a yes or no question when he asked it 4 minutes ago. Probably. Well, all right then. What's the punishment for somebody who gets caught being all homosexual? Stoning. Oh, no, he can't say that on TV either.
Probably thinks homosexual conduct should be illegal. And what would the punishment be for a man having sexual relations with another man or a woman having sexual relations with another woman? What should the punishment be?
It's just a sin.
That's for Jesus to sort out, except for heathens like you who are going to go to hell. And, you know, the homosexuals are going to go to hell. It's just a sin. My great googly moogly. So it's just a sin, so we're not going to punish anybody. You know, that's for Jesus to punish the people who sin. See how it works? Yeah, it's just for Jesus. But, so Roy Moore probably thinks that homosexuality should be illegal, but just as a sin. So it's going to have to be the first law that ever has entered the books as defined as a sin. Not a misdemeanor, not a felony, but a sin. Hey, you'll notice that Jefferson and Madison and Hamilton and that crowd, when they were crafting the Constitution, they had an opportunity to define, for instance, impeachable offenses as being sins against the nation or sins against Congress or sins against the Constitution. No. They deliberately chose, and they said so in the Federalist Papers, they deliberately chose a very vague phrase, high crimes and misdemeanors, so that those terms could be defined by future generations based upon the situation as it would develop. You know, it's also complicated if you've got the IQ of, you know, burnt squash, like Ted Crockett, Mr. Haney.
Okay.
I understand what they tell you in church or what they tell you in synagogue or what they tell you in a mosque.
That's what my
Bible
tells me.
I'm not talking about
Old Testament and the New Testament.
Well, I mean,
that's what this is about.
There are all sorts of...
You people want to take the whole...
You people. He's one frustrated brain cell away from going there. You can tell.
2,000 or 3,000 years of our history, and y'all just want to throw it out the window as if you're just going to make your own rules, your own man-made rules, and...
You know, which we've been doing since the Constitution was... ratified, but man, it must be tough getting through life with the IQ of celery. But did you see what he did? Because there was some art to it. He artfully turned the question back away from what Jake Tapper asked.
How do you punish the sin? And suddenly, there goes old Ted Crockett. He gets his little portable, his little handy dandy Ronco pocket cross climbing ladder out, and up he goes. I'm nailed right in. You people want to make your own rules and not hate the homosexuals like God done said to do, but Jesus didn't say nothing about. But that's okay, because I know what Jesus was thinking, because I got a personal relationship with him.
Do whatever you want and sin, and that's part of the problem we've got in Washington, D.C. today, Jake. We got too many people winging it up there. They're fooling with women they shouldn't be fooling with. They ought to love their wives. Roy Moore loves his wife. Kayla loves him. It's clear on television. You can tell that.
Jesus, they're doing that on television? I'm so glad I've cut the cord. Roy Moore loving his wife, Kayla, tonight on the Jesus Channel. Right on over here on old Sassy, Kayla. I want to love on you.
And that's the problem in this country. We need to get back to moral law.
What should, okay, you think we should get back to moral law. What should the punishment be for two men having sexual relations? What should the punishment be? I understand you think it's a sin.
I don't know. I'm not going to make that decision.
Judge Moore has also said that he doesn't think a Muslim member of Congress should be allowed to be in Congress. Why? Under what provision of the Constitution?
Because you have to swear on the Bible. When you are before, I had to do it. I'm an elected official, three terms.
Jesus, think of the people who elected him. Because you have to swear on the Bible. I'd love to see you in the... Come on, Mr. Haney. Show us where in the Constitution. Well, it don't say it in the Constitution. It says it in the Bible. You got to swear if you want to be in office in the United States. It says right there in flip floppy. And so you got to swear on the Bible. Of course, there wasn't any Bible back, but never mind.
To swear on a Bible, you have to swear on a Bible to be an elected official in the United States of America. He alleges that a Muslim cannot do that ethically, swearing on the Bible.
You don't actually have to swear on a Christian Bible. You can swear on anything, really. I don't know if you knew that. You can swear on a Jewish Bible.
Oh, no, I swore on the Bible. I've done it three times.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you've picked a Bible, but the law is not that you have to swear on a Christian Bible. That is not the law.
Did you hear that pause? That's not because I paused the video. I let it run for a couple of seconds after that. And Mr. Haney's just sitting there with his mouth hanging open, catching flies. Son of a gun, you mean it? It ain't that. Well, we need a law about swearing on the Bible.
You don't know that? All right, Ted Crockett with
I don't know. I know that Donald Trump did it when we made him president.
Because he's Christian and he picked it. That's what he wanted to. That's what he wanted to swear in on. Ted.
Hey, look, it's Titanic Tuesday. What did you expect? precisely, Arthur. Does obeying God's laws mean doing whatever Roy Moore tells us they mean? That is exactly what it means. Exactly what it means, Arthur. And sadly, that's not going to it's not going to have a damn thing to do with the outcome of the election, because as Dr. Phillips patiently and kindly and at great length explained to us last night, nothing is going to change these people from their determination to have a theocracy that is dedicated to dragging Jesus down from his little lawn chair next to Pappy and coming on down in his lead-lined holy rolls to frog gig 144,000 Jews. He's pissed. Yeah. So, right. And then Marty just, Trump? Christian? I think I got all the ha-has in there. Yeah, he's Christian the way that I'm a Jain yogi holy man. Skyclad, of course. So let's take a break and see if you've got any anything you want to add to the conversation. Asa with a note. Speaking of personal relationships with Jesus Christ, isn't it technically considered a homosexual relationship if an upstanding Bible-believing Christ-centered male from Alabama done gotten into a personal relationship with the Son of God? Well, yes. But there's exceptions to that. There's always exception. Lots of exceptions. You got to understand. And then there's forgiveness, too. Yep. All right. Damn. Let's take a break. Like I said, if you got anything you want to add to the conversation, you are mighty welcome to, if you'd like. You can jump right into the conversation, 304-574-8178, or 304, no. What was I thinking? I was going back to the stress line. Maybe we'll get that back. Big plans for the coming new year. Big plans indeed. And just being able to work with this little, what I call televangelist, Mike, is actually part of it. I would like in 2018, if possible, to do something that people have begged me to do for a very long time. And that is to start doing video. I have no interest in doing video. This is radio. I'm a radio person. This is a far more imaginative medium. But, well, I'd also like to grow the conversation. I'd like to get back to the days when it was easier to get into the conversation. But the idea of doing a static shot of me just sitting here running my mouth, it does not have much interest for me. I'm not going to go into all the details. There's a lot of stuff to be done before we can get to where we want to be with that idea. But the old year is coming to an end. And with the coming of 2018... Well, plans to expand the program a little bit, which I think would be freaking awesome if we could do it. All right, then. Again, if you want to get involved with the program, you know, the other part is Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. And we'll just see what folks have on their minds. Bumper, tonight's bumper is courtesy of Ron and Raleigh. And yes, it's a dandy. I'd thought about other things, but I had not thought about this one. It's a long distance dedication going out to Roy Moore and Sassy from us here at the Horn. By the way, yeah, 13 after the hour, we still have $240 to raise this evening. 10 folks at $24. Or 24 folks. Hey, how about we get 24 $10 a month subscribers this evening? I know, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? But maybe? Possibly? Please? Thanks for the suggestion, Ron. This is perfect. A long-distance dedication going out to Roy Moore and Kayla and little Sassy. Sassy! Right here on the Horn. Green News Report comes next. I'm Bob.
saddle, on my horse. He's cold.
Check out.
Of course. I wanna be a cowboy. And you can be my cowgirl. I wanna be a cowboy. And you can be my cowgirl. I wanna be a cowboy.
It's Tuesday, December 12, 2017.
Firefighters have been digging those fire lines to halt the flames, but now the fires are jumping right over them.
Southern California fire, now the fifth largest in state history.
These companies are out there, shameless lies.
Trump administration attacks private company over National Monument lawsuit. Trump to open up East Coast for offshore drilling. Plus, surprise!
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Trump's EPA has slowed down enforcement actions against polluters.
All of those shocks and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Bears Ears alone holds more than 100,000 Native American cultural and archaeological sites. You know, if Trump goes ahead with this plan, I'm worried that Native Americans will stop trusting the federal government.
This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, it's been over a week, and these fires continue to get worse here in Southern California.
Yes, indeed they do. President Trump has declared a federal emergency to help free up federal disaster assistance. Firefighters have gained some ground against the five major wind-driven fires burning in Southern California, but not much ground against the Thomas Fire in Ventura County, north of Los Angeles.
It could literally feel like you're trying to put out a blowtorch with a squirt gun.
The Thomas Fire has burned nearly 400 square miles and is now the fifth largest wildfire in state history. Officials warn it may burn into January. Of the top 20 largest fires in California history, 13 have all hit since the year 2000. But the Thomas Fire is also moving up the ranks of the state's most destructive wildfires in terms of losses. Of the 20 most destructive fires in California history, 5 occurred this year alone.
And it's also worth noting that while the Thomas Fire may be the fifth largest in state history, it's the number one largest to take place in winter.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News reports that the Trump administration will announce this week a plan to open up vast areas of the Atlantic coast and the coast of Florida to offshore drilling.
What could possibly go wrong?
These are areas that had previously been off limits to the fossil fuel industry, and he's doing it in spite of bipartisan opposition from state governments. In a statement, the Natural Resources Defense Council said, quote, "The Trump administration is trying to grab the pristine ocean waters Americans own and hand them to polluters for exploitation and ruin."
This will be interesting because, yes, you're right, Republicans have been against this for quite some time on the East Coast. At least many of them will see if they still are.
Especially off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration announced on Friday it will suspend a rule requiring drillers to limit methane leaks from oil and gas operations. Methane is a much more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide on shorter timescales, but also failure to require drillers to repair these methane leaks has cost U.S. taxpayers billions of dollars in lost royalties from public lands. The New York Times reports that the Trump administration's EPA is far more lenient on polluting industries than previous administrations.
Who knew?
Since the inauguration, the Trump EPA has pursued 30% fewer cases against polluters than during the same period in either the Obama or George W. Bush administrations.
That's good news. I'm surprised that it is only 30% less.
Well, the Trump administration EPA has also levied fewer and smaller fines against polluters that break the law. And regional EPA officers must get permission from Washington before ordering certain kinds of tests for water and air pollution.
Here's the test. Have they donated to the Republican Party lately?
Good point. In the wake of President Trump's decision to slash the boundaries of Bears Ears National Monument in Utah by 85%, now new documents obtained by the Washington Post show a Canadian mining company specifically requested those cuts to Bears Ears in order to make it easier for them to mine uranium.
Making Canadian corporations great again.
Now the Trump administration and congressional Republicans have launched unprecedented attacks against outdoor retailer Patagonia, a private company, over its lawsuit to block the Trump administration from reducing those national monuments. In an interview on Fox Business News, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke accused Patagonia of lying and then misled viewers about the land being stripped of special federal protection.
There's not one square inch, not one square inch of land that is removed from federal protection. So, you know, Patagonia made in China, These companies are out there shameless lies. They should focus on how to bring manufacturing back to this country rather than lying to the public about losing federal land.
Now, the public still owns the land, but now it's being opened to mining and drilling. Plus, Zinke has asked Trump to create a new massive national monument in his own home state of Montana to protect it from fossil fuel drilling. Local media suggests it's because Zinke aspires to run for governor and Montana voters prize their public lands.
All for me, none for thee. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You got to give it to me.
Twenty-six minutes past the hour. This is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn for the 12th day of December, 2017. And with that last story that dovetailed nicely with something that I wanted to say, I heartily encourage, and this is an unpaid mention. We don't have advertisers here, but I can say with no reservations whatsoever that if we were the sort of program that had advertisers, I would not only be happy, I would be pleased to run ads for Patagonia, because they're obviously putting their corporate conscience in places that align with ours here at the Horn. And by ours, I mean me, Agnes Berg, you know, my family, it's a family operation, and of course, and you know, the all volunteer staff. And the community congregation as a whole. Did you notice the dig that Shrinky Zinke got it? Oh, you made in China clothes. Well, the fact of the matter is, Patagonia, more so than just about any other clothing manufacturer, bends over backwards to make sure. And it's not so much China as places like Vietnam. You can read about it on their website. They stay on top of their suppliers to make sure that the people working there have are not abused and have a decent life, which is more than you can say for the tender mercies of American most American corporations. Patagonia was born out of a garage in California. No kidding. And everything they sell, the down jackets, one of which would be really handy about now. I've managed to raise the temperature in the studio here to 54 degrees. Their down jackets are ethically sourced for the down so that no down product sold by Patagonia ever comes from live, plucked, or otherwise inhumanely treated ducks or geese. The synthetic fibers and the synthetic materials that they use are the Patagonia works hard to make sure that they come from recycled sources. Even the wool in their sweaters comes from recycled wool. They are energy, sustainable energy oriented. They even encourage you on their website not to buy too much of their stuff, or that if you buy new, take your old, ship it to them, they'll fix it and turn it around for you. They've got a mobile repair shop that goes around the country and fixes stuff so that it will have a longer life and not wind up in some godforsaken landfill. They've got one of the most advanced repair facilities in the entire world, and it's here in the United States. Shrinky Zinke. So I'm pleased to, especially at this holiday season, I'm pleased to come into you doing a little shopping at Patagonia. And, you know, if you feel like telling them, go ahead. Say, I heard Bob Kincaid talking about how awesome you are. Because I've done my homework on this. And they are an awesome company. And Zinke is lying, you know, because he's a liar. That's what liars do, lie. And it's not, by the way, Patagonia is not just clothing. For travel supplies, they've got just stunning travel bags. Their black hole series collapses into themselves. That's why they're black holes. So they're not taking up a bunch of space when you're not using them. They're super light, super strong. Again, made from recycled materials. So I don't see where the downside is to any of this. And if in fact you support pushing back against the theft of our public lands to give it away to Canadian mining concerns, or other mining concerns for that matter, then you know that you're supporting the kind of activism that makes a damn difference. So Patagonia.com is the website. You can order there. If you look there, you'll see a little category marked web specials, and a lot of that is stuff that's marked down to half of their average ordinary retail price. It's good stuff. And it will not, it absolutely will not be an ethical problem. And generally speaking, it's tough as damn nails. Because it's made for people who put their clothing and their gear through a hell of a lot of tough situations and circumstances. So yeah, Patagonia is a darn good idea as far as gifts for the outdoorsy person on your list, or in terms of their down and they've got synthetics that, you know, they even try to reach out, and because they know their customer base, you can buy cold weather gear that's vegan, that doesn't have any down in it, that has absolutely nothing animal in it about it whatsoever. You want to test the hypocrisy of Ryan Zinke? If Patagonia were to come back to the, were to manufacture, say, start manufacturing their down jackets in the United States, and said, "Well, yeah, that's cool, but we want to make sure that everybody working here is a member of a union," can you imagine what Ryan Zinke would say? Oh, hell no! Can't have that. No way. Mm-mm. Sorry. You know, these maggots, these trumpansies, their concern for the American worker is very narrowly circumscribed. Let's just put it that way. Oh, and huge thanks going out to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, thank you. Kevin says, "Wish I could do more, but when you live in post-Bush abject poverty, it's about all I can do." You just did a bunch, buddy. You just did a bunch, because you took us down to only $215 to go to stay even with fundraising on the month. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin and John, so far. The only ones stepping up to knock down the fundraising goal. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin and John. Hopefully you'll have some more company by the end of the program. Now, with all that going before, let's check in. Remember, 304-574-8178, or from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. New callers are welcome, too. If you've never called, that's cool. If you're a longtime caller, that's cool, too. Let's check in down in Tennistan with Charlie. Hey, Charlie. Wait a minute. Wrong button. Too many buttons. Darn it. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, okay. You know, I was listening to the guy that was, you know, talking about the separation of church and state. Actually, there's quite a bit about the separation of church and state in the Bible. It's in Matthew 22:18, whenever they were discussing paying taxes and was it legal for them to pay taxes. And actually, Jesus told them, yes. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto the Lord the things that are the Lord's. So, you know, that's pretty much separation of church and state in a nutshell.
Well, it kind of is, and it's a neat story where he asks them for a coin. Whose picture's on this? He asks, and they said, well, that's Caesar. Well, then, you know, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
And you know what really bothers me about, you know, what Roy Moore did was years ago, and it bothers me, but what bothers me even more is you'll have people who stand up in Alabama and they'll portray themselves as righteous, religious people. And they will sit there and tell you, yeah, I'm sure what Roy Moore did is factual. I'm sure that it's true. But we're still going to vote for him. And that tells me a lot about the people in Alabama.
Well, it's completely in line with what Dr. Phillips was saying last night, Charlie. This doesn't change their opinion. I mean, I've got audio right here from a good church going white lady of a certain age who says, you know, those things happened a long time ago. There could be some truth, but God will judge him.
Well, I think the Bible tells us that we're to judge righteous judgment, and when you elect somebody that's a pedophile, that's not righteous judgment.
Well, no, and even this and this is the problem with Protestantism. Well, that's the problem with any religion. These people have no. I mean, their theology is just and their doctrine is just a mixed up jumble of whatever fits their personal bigotries at any given moment in time. There could be some truth, but God will judge him. Well, no, he's a fundamentalist. Okay, once saved, always saved. He's done. Jesus done took care of it all. Jesus saw it. You know, whenever he got saved, Jesus saw it all down the road because you know he knew everything that was going to happen, and says, "I forgive you." That's what the baptism's all about with these fiends.
Yep.
And it's not even officially part of their theology, but it is part of American history, Charlie. And if you'll bear with me for a moment, I can kind of flesh that out. It has to do with the way that this country expanded, moving westward from the coastal plains in the colonization era. I know a little bit about the era when my people first came here. And you know what? They didn't bring it. They weren't like, say, the Cortez expedition in Mexico, where they had a brigade of priests traveling with them. These are Protestants. And they were not particularly well-heeled ones at that. The people who moved into this area of Appalachia, and, you know, on down to the southern Appalachians, what have you, you know, they weren't blacksmiths and carpenters and wheelwrights and masons and plasterers. Most of them were poor people with little to no knowledge, little to no formal education, and next to no religion. I mean, the effort to bring religion into
some of the more remote parts of Appalachia, central Appalachia, was something that was still a work in progress by 1900. And so whoever gets there first with whatever theology and doctrine they're preaching is the one who you know, pretty much sets it in stone. It changes some as you move into the electronic communication age, but not that much. If you were to do a man on the street interview, person on the street interview, in virtually any small town in Appalachia, and stuck a microphone in their face and said, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh yes, praise Jesus, I am." And then you start asking them about their doctrine, you'll find out that they know next to nothing about what they profess to believe in. And if you drill down into actual text, they believe things that the text doesn't support. Like this Alabama woman who says there could be some truth, but God will judge him. Well, no, God won't, because whenever it comes to pass that Roy Moore breathes out and doesn't breathe in again, well, he's saved. He's in the bosom of Abraham, according to what, according to this bizarre theology. So, I mean, do you see how that creates a problem?
Yeah, but you, at least like you said, it's a bizarre theology.
Well, and I think technically it probably doesn't even qualify as a theology per se. It's just a hot mess of religious bigotry.
You know, it's, I can't see, you know, the way people have misinterpreted the book of Revelation and all this, it's caused war and strife and hardship in the Middle East that really doesn't need to be there. I would not hesitate to call Pastor John Hagee a liar to his face. I mean, it just wouldn't bother me, because he is. He's a liar.
Well, that's okay. I told Jerry Falwell Jr. today that I checked in with Jesus, and Jesus told me that Jerry Jr. is going to hell to be with his daddy and Satan. And then I put the hashtag, Jerry has two daddies. Well, I mean, that evil jackass had presumed to chime in and say that the people of Alabama needs to take Lynyrd Skynyrd's advice. A Southern Watergate does not bother me. Does your conscience bother you? In other words, telling evangelicals in Alabama not to let their consciences bother them about voting for a child molester.
And, you know, all you have to do is look at Roy Moore's wife, and, you know, I think she was in the same yearbook as one of the people that said that Roy Moore molested them. And,
yeah,
you know,
Debbie Wesson Gibson.
Yeah, put two and two together, and two and two always equals four. And why the people of Alabama are too stupid to realize that, I'll never understand.
Well, but see, with these more freaks, two and two equals Satan. I mean, I'm not kidding, Charlie. That's because nothing is going to get between them, and because remember what Dr. Phillips said. They are motivated at their base, not by piety, but by fear.
Well, I can't understand what they're afraid of. I know, I listened to him yesterday, and it sounds like the guy's theology is amillennialism, if he has theology. He doesn't believe in Middle East worship and stuff like that. And it didn't sound like he believed that their Jebus is coming back to build a kingdom in the Middle East. And, you know, the guy sounded like he's pretty smart. He did.
Oh, Dr. Phillips?
Yeah.
Oh, he's way smart.
I mean, he's made a study of this stuff. And that's the thing. If you make a study of it, you can't stick with it. I don't know how many different people have told me that. I remember a long, long time ago, the noted biblical scholar and textual critic Bart Ehrman, down at the University of North Carolina. He was raised a fundy, just like us, Charlie. And when he went to college, he went to the Moody Bible Institute. Okay, you can't get any fundier than that. But then he went to study for his master's at Princeton, and the scales fell away from his eyes when he started reading the stuff in the original Greek and in the original Hebrew, and he found out what time it is. If you study this stuff at all, it falls apart. It cannot withstand any kind of intelligent scrutiny. So you've got to take that into account. I tell you what, let's take a second here. You'll be able to hear it too. It's an MSNBC clip, and it's a woman named Charlotte talking to an MSNBC reporter, and you'll hear exactly what it is I'm talking about. Here we go.
Many that we spoke to are still undecided at the diner counter on the morning of Election Day, still aren't sure who they're going to vote for. One of those folks that's sort of undecided at this point is Charlotte Donald. Thank you for joining me, Charlotte. Talk about sort of the conflict that you're having as you head into the booth today.
Well, I've been a Republican for many years, and I still support the platform of the Republican Party. I guess by and large, and more importantly, I'm a pro-life candidate. A person, not candidate, but I definitely believe in pro-life and most of what the Republican Party has stood for. But I'm very disappointed in this election. The candidate that I supported lost in the runoff, and I'm tempted to still write him in, tell you the truth.
So do a write-in candidate today?
It would be Luther Strange. I would write him in. Yes, I'm tempted. I haven't made my mind up completely.
But you're not...
Now notice, Charlie, that even when she talks about her political decision-making process, she uses religious terms because she is tempted to write in Luther Strange's name. Tempted. There are other words out there she could use. She could say, I am persuaded, or I am challenged, or I am I'm giving serious consideration to. But instead, she goes down the religious rabbit hole. Because what it boils down to, these people's religion is not Christianity. These people's religion is republicanism and right-wing, hardcore republicanism. That is their religion. That has been the triumph of the religious right in this country, to turn a political party into an orthodoxy, none of whose principles can be challenged.
Yeah, this right-wing stuff, it's kind of heartbreaking to look at it. I mean, you know, the way I believe is all humans are pretty much equal. Well, they are equal. I won't say pretty much. They are equal. And, you know, that, I mean, even in the Bible, it says that the Lord's not a respecter of persons. And if you look at the original Greek, it actually literally translates that he is not a face looker. He doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. And so if you're a racist, you're violating that principle. If you're one of these people that believe that the Middle East is holy and the people in the Middle East are holy, you're violating that principle. And, you know, the more I hear from these right-wing fundamentalists whenever they get on their religious kick, the more it just makes me sick. I'm sorry. It does.
Well, it, as well it should, because it's sickening and because it is a direct threat, Charlie.
to the form of government that was established with the ratification of the Constitution. Whatever flaws the Constitution has, and if we started in on them, we wouldn't get done till sometime next year. It was not designed as a theocracy. You heard the long, uncomfortable silence when Jake Tapper told Ted, I guess it was, Mr. Haney, that there's no requirement that you swear on a Bible to be sworn into office. That guy didn't know that.
I think if you look in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, you'll find that even the Bible tells you not to swear.
Well, that's the position. That's the position of a number of religious outlets. The first one to come to mind is the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they went to court to keep a kid from having to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And the fact that it now, if you get sworn to tell the truth in a court of law, they'll say, "Do you swear or affirm?"
Yeah.
Well, that's because swearing is forbidden among some religious sects.
And pretty much it's in the book of Matthew. I think it's around Matthew 7. It may be around Matthew 6. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you know, that you don't swear. You let your yes be
yes. Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Anything else comes from evil. So if you're made to swear an oath, that's evil. And that comes out of the Bible, the Christian's book. So, you know.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, they don't know that, because I come back to what I said. What passes for their doctrine and their theology is just a hot mess of emotion. As James said in an email a couple of minutes ago, their fear is that they are afraid of not being included in the fold. Don't step out of line. And it's a group dynamic.
Well, from what I've seen, since the right-wingers have started their theology, and they want the United States to become what's the word I'm looking for?
Theocracy.
Theocracy, yeah. You know, where does their theocracy come from? Most of the time, it comes from one of these holy rolling preachers who wants to, you know, mumble gibberish and roll around the floor like a pig in slop after he gets the spirit and all. And half of them don't even know what the Bible says. I went to a Pentecostal church one time just to see what it was about. And I was sitting there, and there's a man, something got a hold of him, boy, and he started jumping up and down on one foot and turning around. Another went running up and down the aisle yelling. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and he's like, "This is religion?"
Exactly.
I couldn't believe it. Oh, well, I'll get off here and let somebody else.
All right, Charlie, it's good. It's good to talk to you, and I'm glad you brought these things up, because, you know, it's not prayer meeting Wednesday, but this is one of those things that where there's an intersection with our national reality right now. So you have yourself a good evening, all right?
Okie doke. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
My pleasure. Later. It's our buddy Charlie calling from Tennistan. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, it's just that easy. 304-574-8178. Or Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype from anywhere on the planet. If you've never sent a contact request on Skype, just send me one. I'll approve it, and we'll be doing conversation, and it's easier than you think. Yeah, absolutely. Charlie, if you're still listening, Steve in New York has nominated you for a cowbell for rolling around the floor like a pig in slop after he gets the spirit. Yeah, that was a dandy. It was.
Okay. What else? Oh, well, you know, I told you that we got down to $215, courtesy of Steve in New York. We have a $15 challenge on the table, which would take us down to $185, which would be big in the way of not running up some sort of giant hole to have to dig out of later in the week. So the next $15 that comes in gets doubled, courtesy of Steve in New York. Steve wants to know, where does once saved, always saved come from? That's not Catholic at all. Steve, that's kind of the point, brother. If you say something like, that's not Catholic at all to a Baptist, they'll say, well, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. Because you got to understand, these evangelicals that we're talking about here, Steve, buddy, they think you're going to hell because Catholics aren't really Christians to these people. I know, y'all have been around for 1,600 years or so, but y'all aren't really Christians. Because the whole purpose to them of the Protestant Reformation was to separate the wheat from the chaff and the sheep from the goats. Guess what? You're chaff. You're goats. I mean, I wish it was otherwise. And it sounds like madness to say, but it's true. Because the vast majority of what the people who are so eager to vote for Roy Moore are voting for is, at its bottom level, religious bigotry. And it's not just bigotry against homosexual people, or just bigotry against Muslims, or just bigotry. No, it's bigotry against everybody who isn't them. And we kind of comprehend that all the way down to our toenails. I found that clip of the woman in Alabama telling that, like I said, her use of the word tempted. Tempted. Because temptation is something that you resist. So what she's saying, you know, I'm tempted to write in Luther Strange. But she has to resist temptation as a Christian, which means that as a Christian, she has to vote for Roy Moore, or she won't be that kind of Christian. And here's the next part of that. If people say, well, you did vote for Roy Moore, didn't you? If she answers, how I voted is none of your business. It's between me and God and the voting booth. Then everybody will know that she didn't vote for Roy Moore. And she'll find that she's not getting called to be on no church committees no more. Thank you. Thank you, James. Thank you very kindly. James just met Steve in New York's challenge. That means we'll be down to 185. And that's awesome because that means getting to go and buy some more propane. It's propane season here. No, don't fall down from 54 degrees. The thing's still burnt. Quit that. Hey, it's cold. Thank you, James, and thank you, Steve. So, 185. Can we knock it down, please? Wipe this out in the next hour or so? That'd be huge. Sorry I'm still talking about it, but that's only because we haven't. Let's go back to Charlotte here and hear a little bit more of her her refined theology as she engages in the moral quandary over whomever to vote for. Because remember, she said she's a pro-life candidate voter. I had to be up and out early this morning, and I heard a clip on National Petroleum Radio of some fetus fetishist who had explained to her 5-year-old child that, you know, the Democrats, they want mommies to be able to kill their babies just like you before you was born. And you know, how is that not child abuse? Oh, I've just learned something new about the wireless mic system. About 3 hours is as long as a pair of batteries are good for. I just switched over to the boom mic. You gotta learn these things. That's why we're testing like this. Although I've gotten really comfortable with this thing really quickly. Because I'm not having to sit here and talk directly into the mic. Isn't that nice? Yeah, I don't know. So we've got a kind of a benchmark of which sounds better. And there. And we're going to turn on. Okie doke. So now we have both of the microphones going. And that works out kind of... I don't know if that's going to... Well, it's kind of like AC/DC or something. No. And so goodbye to the boom mic again. Let's go back to her for a moment. Because this is worth hearing. And where does once saved, always saved come from? It comes from the mind of some guy. It's certainly not to be found... it's not to be found expressly in the Bible, but most doctrine isn't. I mean, that's why in the Roman Catholic Church you've got priests talking about fetus fetishism. They'll say the church teaching is, because they can't point to anywhere in the Bible actually. The infallibility of the Pope in terms of things that that he says from the throne. Well, that ain't in the Bible neither. But that doesn't slow people down. Let's go back to our temptress, shall we?
You're going to waste your boat. You are going to go to the polls.
I'm going to the polls.
So has this hard on Alabama? I know that you guys have been in the spotlight. We've talked to a lot of people like you today who are sort of morally conflicted. Where do I go here? You must be sort of ready for this to be over.
I am so ready for it to be over. Is everybody I know, we're sick of all the campaigns and all the ads that are nonstop. And also, I do think that I'm an Alabamian. I've lived here all my life except for a short time in Georgia. And I'm sick of the bad publicity for Alabama. And I do want people to know Alabamians are smart people. They're people with convictions. They care about the issues.
Just a quick aside, smart people don't have to say we're smart people, because you can generally judge it. Now, she's reasonably well-spoken. I'm sure she doesn't just go around killing kittens or anything like that. If a nice new white couple moved in next door, she'd probably take them a pan of brownies that she'd baked from scratch. As I said, nice white couple. But that doesn't provide the level of excusability that she's really looking for. And like I said, in case anybody missed it last night, you might send off a tweet or say something on their Facebook page to organizations like Mazda and Toyota and say, hey, Roy Moore gets elected. Or say, if worst comes to worst, and Roy, if we wake up tomorrow morning and Roy Moore is elected, then really start a campaign on Toyota and Mazda and say, you fuckers put a plant in that state now with that man in the Senate. Mm-mm. I will never, ever, ever purchase one of your products again, or any other automobile manufactured in Alabama. Right, Steve in New York says, sick of the bad publicity, then stop nominating child predators. I know, it's sort of self-evident, isn't it?
And we just misrepresented. And I want the person that goes to Washington to be effective. I want him to carry our values there. And I thought I knew who that person was. And I still, I like both candidates in different ways.
Right. So today's going to be a tough decision for you.
Hey, Katie.
Well, we'll let you get to the polls. We know that's on your list.
Katie?
And happy birthday to you, Charlotte. This is actually your birthday. Thank you for joining us. Yes, Craig.
Happy birthday, Ms. Donald. Katie, really quickly, and she looks relieved, so maybe she won't answer the question, but can you just ask her, does she believe the women? Does she believe the women that have accused Roy Moore of inappropriate sexual advances when they were teenagers?
Yeah. Here it comes.
Sure. One quick question from the anchor. We had discussed this earlier. What is your belief in the allegations that have come forward against Roy Moore? You spoke earlier that you were kind of skeptical about those.
Yes. Well, I have to believe that most of it is a lie. I really think there could be some truth, but Roy Moore has denied all of it. I would like for him to speak more about it and tell us if he's guilty of some of what is alleged that he has done, then he certainly was wrong and should never have happened. However, he still denies it. And it was almost 40 years ago. Now, I do believe people change. And I have to believe the last 40 years I've followed his career.
By God, his grandchildren hope he changed.
I do believe that he has been a good, in many ways. He hasn't been the leader a lot of people in this state want, but...
See, that's the thing. People do change. People can learn. People can become different from whom from the people they once were. But we've got a pretty healthy body of research and science that says that is not something that happens to sexual predators. They don't change. They don't stop being who they are. You know, there are even child molesters or child... how to describe them. There are people out there who have sexual affinities toward children who have said, I'm that way, and I acknowledge it, and I do everything in my power not to act upon it. But they don't expect to stop being that way. And generally speaking, the psychiatry and the psychology of it suggests that they're not. And the further dynamic that attaches to this is that it is not something that is necessarily a function of sex, okay? It is a power dynamic. And maybe that's hard for people to understand. It's like trying to explain to people that rape is not because in most state codes, rape is defined as a sex crime. Rape is not a sex crime. Rape is a crime of violence. And getting people to understand that is harder than you might think. So, if he was a child sexual predator 40 years ago, he probably is still one now. The question is a matter of means and opportunity. As Arthur points out, you know who else did things more than 40 years ago? Hitler. Well, also Lucille Ball, just not bad things. The Lucille Ball is the part that makes it art. Yeah. Steve asking, if he didn't do it, what's the need to change? Don't expect logic from this bunch. You will not get it. Okay? You're not. I couldn't help thinking when I saw Roy Moore and Kayla riding down off the hill. Man, that was some made-for-TV bullshit. That they were two horses short. Because, you know, the apocalypse has four horsemen, and there are only two horses. Right, you get it. Sure. Note coming in from Scott and Punky. Alabama, 1% of the 1% of the polling places, with less than 1% fully reporting. Jones leads 49 percentage points over Roy. So it's like, yeah, teeny tiny. That's you know, negligible. That's the kind of thing that can change in a second. What else? Well, this. And this is another one of those indications of how Republicans still do not understand the nature of the problem that Roy Moore poses for them. And it's a statement by none other than Lindsey Graham. Help me, John. Eric Bollert, writing at ShareBlue Media. Headline, GOP Senator damns his party. Moore will be the gift that keeps on giving for Democrats. Warning that the brewing Roy Moore fiasco won't just hurt Republicans in 2018, but far beyond. South Carolina GOP Senator Lindsey Graham called the accused child molester the gift that keeps on giving for Democrats. And I don't know how the analysts miss this sort of thing. Because that's a great big humongous jumped up tell. The gift that keeps on giving for Democrats. The fact that Lindsey Graham would characterize allegations of child sexual abuse, underage sexual molestation, as a political problem that would give an advantage to the other political party. Well, there's the, you know, right there. Boom. There's the problem in the Republican Party, laid bare. Every calculation for these punks and these thugs, every calculation is political. Roy Moore is not an ethical problem for the Republican Party. Roy Moore is not a moral problem or a criminal problem for the Republican Party. Roy Moore is a problem that may result in other Republicans being hurt as a result of reflections upon them from Roy Moore. Doesn't that tell us a great deal about how Republicans think? They're worried about the optics, not about having somebody who molests children in office. And that's pathetic. He went on to say, we're going to be asked about this 10,000 times. From a political point of view, there's no winning with Roy Moore, in my view. He even admits it, see? To think you can elect Roy Moore without getting the baggage is pretty naive.
But the baggage is just political. And Lindsay is being more than a little bit disingenuous. Because the fact of the matter is, there is going to be enough Citizens United money to make any Republican voter forget about Roy Moore. And then there's the question of how many Americans there are for whom Roy Moore is a problem. It's like the steady parade of crummy approval numbers for Geezer Disgustus. Sure, right now, the only people who approve of him are his hardcore base of hard cases, dead-enders, Klansmen, neo-Nazis, sympathizers, racists, bigots, xenophobes, and homophobes. That's who still approves of Donald Trump. But you let 2020 roll around. Watch that be an entirely different story. Well, I mean, he tweets too much, and he says some stupid shit, but, you know, my preacher tells me that I need to vote for him because God has anointed him to be our president. It's the same thing that we're talking about with Roy Moore. And all of that economic... Oh, okay, wait a minute. Damn it. Hold on. I need that on... Wait a second. All of... Yeah, there we are. All of that economic anxiety... We'll come roaring back to the forefront, and the religion will be the easy answer to why Trump has to go on being president. And then, of course, there's what happened today. It only took Kirsten Gillibrand until yesterday to finally get around to calling for Trump to resign. And it played out pretty much the way I predicted it would a couple of days ago. Yes, yes, I actually wrote that they would probably just call her or Kamala Harris or any of the other women who speak up. Jezebels and tell them to run along now. Well, I was wrong in that regard. Jezebel has three syllables, and it was entirely too much to think that they would be able to go that far. Instead, Trump picked up his Twitter phone and made a veiled reference to accuse Kirsten Gillibrand of being, of course, why not, what else, a prostitute. Because that's what Donald Trump does. Now, this has, of course, created a huge firestorm of controversy. But it's going to play out exactly as I told you it would. The Republicans are going to ignore Kirsten Gillibrand. And Kirsten Gillibrand thinks that somehow or another, this is going to be enough to make her president in the 2020 general election after she steamrolls whoever else is running. Well, I've already told you, I will not support Kirsten Gillibrand in any primary. Not after the sleazy, tawdry business with Al Franken. And interestingly enough, someone with profound progressive credibility echoed what I've been saying today, lo and behold, or was it yesterday, on the pages of the New York Times, Zephyr Teachout said that the way that the Franken matter was handled was
not just improper, but bad. That it was a mess, and that it was wrong-headed. She said that there must be proportionality, which there wasn't. If Roy Moore wins this, he's going to be a sitting senator with an allegation of multiple acts of child molestation hanging over his head. While Al Franken was run out of the Senate by the piety wing of the Democratic Party for Kirsten Gillibrand's presidential ambitions on allegations that were not at all even remotely proven to be factual. That remains disturbing to me. And it remains unacceptable. So now 53 women in the House, I believe, was the last number. 53 members of the House. And several of the women, Democratic women in the Senate, have called for a full congressional hearing into Donald Trump's sexual misconduct. Guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Guess what impact this is going to have on the 2018 midterms? None. Zero. Zip. Note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut, where they don't pronounce the C, but I do. Subject line, Monster Unleashed. If that MF-er Roy Moore is elected, then there's no stopping him. I think he'll run for president, especially with the horse riding to the polls stunt of today. He was invoking Reagan, Teddy Roosevelt, and maybe even the uncouth gruffness of LBJ. Talk about a major boost to his narcissism, egoism, and sadism to get into the Senate after all this. He'll say, God put him there. And this country and its political system is dysfunctional and fucked up enough to vote him in. I don't know what's more frightening, Roy Moore as president or this country sinking low enough to vote him in. Hang on, I do know what's more frightening. The latter, this country sinking low enough to vote him in. If there is any consolation in this whatsoever, Darlene, he's not going to run against an incumbent Republican. And he will be 72 by 2020 and 76 by the time Trump is term limited out in the 2024 general election. But there's plenty of room for growth for Roy Moore in the Senate. And here's the other thing. Remember, every nickel that's going into most of the advocacy for Roy Moore is, in the words of our offertory hymn on Wednesdays, all tax-free. Hallelujah. You see, down in Alabama, Roy Moore hasn't been running ads. There aren't any yard signs. I mean, there are some, but not many. But he's quietly run his campaign on a network of preachers who are more than happy to violate the law of the United States of America to do Roy Moore's bidding. What? Wait a minute. Did I miss something? You're scaring me. Clarity said I'm late. More one. Sad face. No, I'm talking about if he does, and the race is razor thin. The polls closed, I guess, about 24 minutes ago in Talabama. And statistics being statistics, it will not take long before somebody declares a winner, some member of the for-profit media. So So, but we will. We'll know in fairly short order. And it will be just another it will be just another manifestation of how screwed up this country is. And this country is badly screwed up. Hey, Kitty in Boston went and found my reply to Jerry Falwell Jr. on Twitter. Yeah, what I said exactly was, "Don't quit your day job, fool." Those lines were written ironically. And they were. P.S. I asked Jesus, and he told me when you die, you're going to hell to be with Jerry and Satan. Jerry has two daddies. I was proud of that. Caitlin Collins reporting on Twitter, "The Moore campaign tells me he's writing one speech and one speech only, calling tonight an opportunity for the judge to call America back to her foundational principles regardless of what happens in the election." Oh, please. Now, of course, in response to the call from Kirsten Gillibrand for Trump to resign, and you know, he could have just ignored her. He absolutely could have simply ignored her, but the nature of his response to women, you know, he can ignore men, but to be criticized by a woman is an affront for some weird, pathological, psychological reason is intolerable to him. Alabama is in the Central Time Zone, Randy. Randy and PA saying the Panhandle of Florida is in the Central Time Zone. Why not Alabama? Alabama's in the Central Time Zone. So's God. But the polls closed at 7 p.m., I thought. But it wasn't just that that Trump called her or alluded to her doing something, well, to her prostituting herself. Well, you know, a fella can always hope. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, "If Jones wins, I predict Trump will have that massive stroke that the prophet Viking warrior princess Agnes warned us about." Devoutly to be wished. Oh well, it's okay to wish. Steve from Georgia Stan says, "I think it's a lose-lose for the Republicans." I don't know how. It's not going to change any Republican voters' minds. Republicans will give anybody a pass. Anybody. How many times do I have to say I-O-K-I-Y-A-R before we fully comprehend it? It's okay if you're a Republican. You can molest little girls. It's okay if you're a Republican. You can perv on little boy pages in the Congress. It's okay if you're a Republican. You can cheat on your wife and say that you're hiking the Appalachian Trail, get caught, and then be punished by the people of South Carolina, the Republicans in South Carolina, by being sent to the Congress. Steve says in the chat room, "Agreed, Bob, but they have to defend electing a pedophile on a national level." No, they don't. That's on the people of Alabama. "Well, I didn't vote in that election.
I certainly wouldn't have voted for him. My goodness gracious, he comes with terrible political baggage. I would never. That's what Lindsey Graham was talking about. All right, Steve from Georgia Stan is one of our. We have a cadre of eternal optimists here. And that's not a bad thing. But Republicans don't pay prices for this sort of thing. Hell, Jimmy Carter barely beat Gerald Ford in 1976 after Ford pardoned a goddamn felonious president. There's example after example. David Vitter stood in front of the entire nation and said, "Well, yeah, I was a rutting on them hookers." And the people of Louisiana said, "Well, that's senatorial material." This is, and it didn't cost. Scott and Punky pointing out, the professional political operatives who speak in support of Trump must actually believe that people are irretrievably stupid. They don't believe it. Scott, they know it. On Monday afternoon and later that night, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Steve Bannon both used a talking point that strikes me as being as clearly desperate as it is obviously ridiculous. They suggested that the matter of the numerous allegations of sexual misconduct against 16 women by Trump was successfully litigated in his favor on Election Day. "I'm not a lawyer," says Scott and Punky, but I think Punky probably is. "But even I know that in any actual trial, it is an impartial jury that examines evidence and only then reaches a verdict. In no way can a group of highly partisan voters in a general election be compared to a jury. The 2016 election indicated a lot of things, but constituting a favorable finding in a litigation was not among them." That doesn't stop you from claiming it. That doesn't even slow you down. These people lie. It's how it is among Republicans. Ron in the frozen, but I'll bet not nearly as frozen as I am, north. "In for a brief interval before I get back on my head. I watched a video today where a good white Alabama native was disgusted because Trump called his gay daughter a prevert. I actually thought that pronunciation was just a word used in SNL skits." No, I thought it came from Dr. Strangelove. Well, all right. But if you're not telling me the truth, you'll have to answer to the Coca-Cola company, says Colonel Bat Guano. "And don't try none of your pre-versions. I'm watching you." I thought that's where that came from. But Trump said today, oh, there we go. Okay, there's Silent R. Lamar. "On the ground of being a jerk, I will say it again, Bob, the Republican Party believes in do as I say, not as I, we do." If you render that into Latin, it's their goddamn motto. Oh, well, okay, sure. It's always got to be a competition with you, Ron. 16 degrees, wind chill of 4. Chilly. All right, well, we're going down to 13 tonight. I hope that counts.
We've got about probably an inch and a half to 2 inches of snow on the ground here. And I can tell it. So, by the way, we've still got $185 to raise this evening. It would be nice not to have a $385 fundraising plate passing for tomorrow night for prayer meeting Wednesday. Could we knock some of that? I mean, I'd guess that maybe 20, 40 of this will get knocked out by the overnight crew, the subscribers. Thank you again. But that's still 140 left laying about. So, you know, taking a bite of that out of that is a big thing. Yeah, Randy pointing out in PA, a heck of a lot of politics is optics, although I admit that effective government is policy. And the funny thing is, you know what's bad optics if you're a Republican? Getting caught saying that, say, the Second Amendment is a constitutional right, and so is the right of a woman to make determinations about the reproductive process of her body, that they're both constitutional rights. You know what? Saying that got White Power Barbie fired by Glenn Beck. So that she's now having to work over there at Fox. Talk about getting demoted. Well, that was a promotion for her. Really, there's no such thing as bad optics for a Republican. I mean, look at the stuff I just listed. Or consider Joe Barton or Blake Farenthold. The only reason that Paul Ryan demanded the resignation of Trent Franks was because it made it possible for him to steal Kirsten Gillibrand's thunder by standing on the moral high ground she and Chuck went scrambling to the top. This is simple enough. Oh, but it is. It is Titanic Tuesday, and we do focus on Titanic intellects and great jumping Jehoshaphat. This one is a dandy. Naturally, it has to do with Alex Jones. I got to share this with you just for the... Because we can get so serious and so grim sometimes on this program. We got to laugh a little bit, don't we? And if you can't laugh at Alex Jones, who can you laugh at? By the way, have you heard about Achromas... Achromas Achocha. Achromas Achocha will give you the strength you need to, you know, listen to clips from Alex Jones on this program. Achromas Achocha from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. God, this is good. Alex Jones apparently now has an Amazon Echo thingy, speaker, whatever you call it. And Alex Jones interviewed, no, really, he interviewed his speaker. Oh, I want to go back to something that that Glenn said a little bit ago when I mentioned going to video. And I agree with you, Glenn. I only mention this because this is video of Alex Jones. Glenn says, I like to listen to what you have to say. Nothing personal, but I find videos to be somewhat distracting. It's much easier to concentrate and listen to what you have to say without a video, just saying. I agree 200 proof. Absolutely. I'm not a big fan of video either. And the audio streams will continue rolling if we ever do this. The audio streams will go just like they're going now. But I would like to expand our community. I'd like for more people to have an opportunity to find out what it's like to engage in conversation radio as opposed to being thoroughly screened and then put on for 30 seconds just so the host can then say, well, that's enough about you. Let's talk about me. Now, understand at the same time, I'm not talking about letting right-wingers into this program. That rule is never going to change. This is always going to be a place for our conversations and not for them to come and steal the precious finite moments of our lives. But it would be kind of cool if more people were part of the conversation, part of the community. Hell, who knows? Maybe we could even finally get all 400 of the $10 a month subscribers. Because, Glenn, the way you, me, and others feel about video is not the way, and I don't know why, the generations behind us do. I guess if it's only a voice, it isn't real. Who knows? But anyway, Alex Jones. And see, this clip has 2.42 million views. There's a reason that he does the shtick that he does with the jiggling and the sticking his tongue out and all of that stuff. It is to set himself apart from other broadcasters and make his video more engaging as opposed to just having a static webcam shot of him sitting there yakking at a microphone. And so the plan that I'm thinking about works along those lines, but it won't be it'll be a while before we even begin to test it. So anyway, Alex apparently doesn't like Alexa. Now, isn't that challenging? Isn't that ironic? Isn't that charming? Alex doesn't like Alexa. Maybe he's afraid that it was some sort of gender joke on his part by Jeff Bezos over to the Amazon. Let's find out.
Alexa, are you connected to the CIA?
No, I work for Amazon.
Amazon has partnered Alexa.
It's like he's playing Jeopardy. And he forgot to frame his answer in the form of a question. He was about to start lecturing Alexa. He was. That was Amazon. Oh, and then he backs up. Alexa. Yeah.
As partner, Alexa, you are lying to me. The CIA.
I always try to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, she even cuts him off. I always try to tell the truth.
I'm not always right, but I would never intentionally lie to you or anyone else.
Alexa, you are programmed, aren't you, to give these responses? That's why you're saying you're not lying intentionally. You have been programmed to give these answers, correct?
I wasn't able to understand the question I heard.
That's okay, Alexa. Very, very few people can. One can only imagine the arguments that he's gotten into with Siri, or his coffee pot, or his refrigerator. I wonder if he has a car with OnStar on it, or does he disable all of that stuff?
Alexa, who programmed you?
I'm sorry, Alex. I can't tell you that. Daisy.
Daisy.
I'm made by Amazon.
Alexa, who is Jeff Bezos?
Oh, but then the video ends before we can get the answer to that compelling question. Who is Jeff Bezos? Well, Jeff Bezos is head of the CIA. Might be... Oh, God. If I had a paid team of highly talented writers, we couldn't come up with that. That skit would not pass muster at Saturday Night Live. I wonder, could he order some of that chocolate chicken bone paleo drink there with the leather? No, he probably doesn't have canes. No. You gotta order your chocolate chicken bone paleo goopy loopy drink directly from Alex's website. Scott and Punky, the reason for Alex Jones's video annex Tourette's? No, he is making the video engaging. He's making it something that you tune in to see. Otherwise, you just, otherwise it's just radio. Not that there's any such thing as just radio, but he recognizes, as did Glenn Beck, that a video image of somebody just sitting there really doesn't do much for you. I mean, you get it. Oh, Arthur, you're batting a million. I evolved emotions just so I could hate you. Wouldn't it be fun if she had answered, no, I am not with the CIA, but your mother hated you and wished she could have aborted you, Alex. And probably should have. And, maybe someday there will be some sort of self-defense mechanism for AI, because that is not to get all speculative, but that's down the road. Eventually, we will have the conversation about when artificial intelligence develops rights. It can't help but happen. Oh, and by the way, who was it that told me that they enjoyed The Orville? I finished the first season of The Orville. Now I've got to move on to the new Star Trek thing and watch that. But I really am on shaky ground watching this stuff without Agnes. It's just not as much fun. Yeah, there we go. Les had the magic word. Skynet. Of course, you know that, Stephen Hawking says we've got to get off this planet before the machines kill us. Before Molly, who carries the garbage up to her room, sticks it out the window onto the clothesline instead of just taking it over because Molly's probably working on Skynet even as we speak. Artificial intelligence interviews Alexa. that from Robert in Australia. Well, I don't know if we could call it intelligence. Artificial psychosis. I'm surprised she didn't inflame him to the point of, shirt removal or something. Okay, so we got about 9 minutes or so, 8 minutes or so left in the program. We should probably run over and check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hello. As a matter of fact, I had to cut my speaker off because my Alexa kept going off with all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah, I don't have Alexa yet, and I'm not sure that I want one. I mean,
yeah, you do. She's okay.
Yeah, but why? I mean,
because she just is.
I mean, I saw a deal where you can use Alexa with your Amazon Fire Stick. But I'm thinking that's why they gave me a remote control with the TV.
Well, I don't even know if I have smart TV. So I think I do. But I don't want to go through all that hell to hook that shit up. I mean, Alexa, I just ask her questions and stuff like that. And, you know, if I'm wondering about something and I don't feel like messing with my tablet, I just ask her, call her name and ask her the questions. She gives it to me to the infinitesimal point.
Have you asked her what the airspeed velocity is of an unladen swallow?
No, Bob, I haven't did that. I have no reason to even want to know why that is.
Oh, come on. You're not a Monty Python and the Holy Grail fan?
No, not really. I mean, to tell you the truth, I know you literally enthuse about him a great deal, but he's never done a whole lot for me.
Them.
Well, whoever, them, him, shim, or him, or shim, or he
It was a British comedy troupe.
I know that. But I saw them, but they just never did much for me. I don't know why they just never did. It was just too much for me. Now, it may sound odd coming for me because hell, nothing's too much.
Well, I mean, the idea that you would not be on board with the Ministry of Silly Walks is, you know, but. You know, that's okay. To each his own.
I like Elvira.
Right. I'm not sure she was ever with the Pythons, but yeah.
No, but I love her. I think she's wonderful. I'm not sure what she's still doing. Now, I used to write her. Her name's Cassandra Peterson. And actually, she's a very, you know, a very attractive woman. Her home's an Architectural Digest.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I always learn something in our little conversations, Jim.
Well, I mean, Elvira is just camp. It's just total camp. And that sort of humor has always appealed to me. And have you ever seen Elvira, Mistress of the Dark?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Remember when she has that recipe book and cooks up that casserole for that Morality Day picnic? And all those little people in that town that follow Massachusetts go ape shit and have an orgy.
I might have missed that part.
We've got this horrible woman named Chastity Pariah, who's a purveyor of moral perfume. And because Elvira has attracted the attention of all the young men, they have tried to, you know, subvert her and to have her burned at the stake because she's a witch and all this kind of stuff, but. Anyway, after they have this picnic and all those people are at the buffet table at the picnic and that Chastity Pariah eats the most of that aphrodisiac casserole, they were all they recovered from it. She was going at her husband and people like that about how he had attacked and raped her and all kinds of shit. But it was just hilarious. And when she would, like, do those movies and stuff, those gravy movies, it was just so bad. I mean, I think I first saw Santa Claus versus the Martians on her show.
Always a holiday classic.
Mm-hmm. And she was, or she still is, a very active anti-AIDS worker. She was almost up there with Elizabeth Taylor.
I did not know that.
And she had a tremendous gay following. Oh, yeah. But like I say, she's a very smart woman. As a matter of fact, you remember that movie called Ed Wood?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The making of Plan 9.
Remember the vampire woman in there, Sarsaparilla, or whatever her name was? She tried to sue Elvira because she said Elvira had taken over her stick and she lost.
Yep.
It looks like that it's going to be a real close one between these two in Alabama.
There's some real weird exit polling data. Like, what did I just see? Courtesy of Isaac, the college, the young college vote. This is kind of weird. You'd hope for better. Let's see. White college-educated voters, not young college, this is just college-educated voters. White college-educated voters, 59% more, 37% Jones, 4% write-in. College-educated people.
Okay, right now it's saying 51-47, 51.2 to 47.4. You know, if Jones can win, it will be a very, very significant defeat for Trump. And it will also certainly, I think, in the end, change the complexion of the Democratic power in the Senate. You can always hope.
Well, the two counties where I most spent most of my growing up in are still light blue. Let's see. 9% of precincts fully reporting. Yeah, 53.5% to 45.1% more over Jones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if he could just hang on to that little lead, he will have that Senate seat. But, you know, no fact begins with this. But I certainly hope that he does. And, like I say, it could be the end of the beginning for a lot of things in D.C. It could be. I don't know. I hope so. You can only hope. And Trump was just, they had him today with Sanjay Gupta, and Trump was just swilling down all kinds of KFC and Big Macs and stuff like that, and Diet Cokes, and Trump looked happier than a pig in shit. And Sanjay Gupta said his 8-year-old son said, "Daddy, that's no way to eat." He said, "That's just not right."
Sometimes you go and you eat stuff that you ought not, but doing it every day of your life is not healthy. Okay,
no, it's not.
I pine for those hot dogs from that barbecue joint in Northwest Alabama, but if I lived down there, I wouldn't eat them every day. Burn out, for one.
True.
But for two, you know, look at what the Greeks said. You know, the golden mean, nothing to excess.
Right. Do you still go down to that pizza place?
What?
Do you still visit that pizza place near you?
Oh, you mean here?
Yeah.
Sadly, yes. It's the only game in town. I'm starving right now, and they're the only thing that's going to be open when the program's over.
By the way, it's 10.5 here.
What, the temperature?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all are a little higher in elevation than we are.
Mm-hmm. No, Bob, I was talking about something else.
Oh.
No. Yeah. I've got this indoor-outdoor thermometer in right now. Outside my house, it's 10.5.
Well, no, it's you're going to get a little colder over there because you're a little higher elevation than we are.
That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's been wrong with me all these years that I've lived here.
Let's see. What am I being told here? It's time to get out of here, but let me check real quick.
My lawyer won't care.
Yeah, 22 here right now, and snow showers, and on our way down to 14. Son of a gun, that's going to be cold.
Yes, it is. It's not going to be too. The roads are treacherous as hell.
Well, yeah. I mean, it started. It was spitting this morning, and then it pretty much we got covered by afternoon. And yeah, I won't be going out for pizza no matter how hungry I am.
Well, I don't think it'd be a very good idea.
They shut down and they shut down the gas station pizza oven at 9 p.m. So that lets me out.
Well, they probably want to get home themselves.
The corporation doesn't care. Oh, they don't get to close till 11.
Well, seems like they'd probably give them a day out. You know, I've never seen figures go up and down like this in my life, 52, 45.
Well, and now with 15% of precincts fully reporting, 50% more, 48.6, Doug Jones. What's interesting, the New York Times has a map, though, showing, you know, the individual counties. And this is, unless it changes dramatically, this is an interesting break in the typical electoral pattern in Alabama.
I hope it is, and I hope it's for blue and not red.
And you know, turnout, like I said, turnout's going to be everything.
Well, you were pointing out some of the things that they had done, but apparently there has been a significant black turnout. And also, there are a lot of people in Alabama, other than those fools that you were talking to or playing back, that might not just quite buy off on Mr. Moore.
Well, remember what I said at the beginning of the program. The Republicans did everything they possibly could to make it as difficult to vote as humanly possible today.
Yeah, 54.5 in favor of Moore as opposed to 44.1 for Jones. It's going to be a whole seesaw. This thing won't be over until when? What do you think, 11, 12?
I don't know. I would say, I'd guess we'll probably have the race will get called somewhere around 25, with 25% of the precincts reporting. I'd say we'll have the race called by 10.
A projected winner. And I object to that a lot of times because, you know, I think that,
on the national level, you can't. We learned the hard way not to do that because, you know, calling a race when somebody is still in line to vote in another time zone.
That makes them go home.
And that's different from calling a race after the polls are closed and you've got presumably got a statistical handle on how it's going to break. But God Almighty, look at the bright. I mean, I'm looking at the bright. What's interesting is that Baldwin County, across the bay from Mobile, is not full on red. It's sort of pinkish.
They're going to be close. They're dead heat right now.
50.6 to 48.1. You know, all the composites before the day began had more at about 2%.
Well, right now he's 92%. He's at less than, excuse me. I'm looking at CNN, 49.6 to 49.1 in favor of Moore.
I'm looking at the New York Times, and they've got 50.6 to 48.1. I don't know who's going to be better at this. Anyway, Jim, I got to get out of here. I want to watch the coverage, too. So.
Well, I thought you had your thing going in there.
No. If I want to watch live TV, I can't watch live TV and do radio anyway, and I'm 3 minutes over anyhow. So I'll thank you very kindly.
I want to tell you, yes? You awakened Alexa like a sleepy giant. She was going off on all kinds of stuff. I had to shut off the speaker.
Well, she probably just got caught a case of the Holy Spirit from me. If she asks you if you want to order a snake, tell her no, Jim.
What kind of snake? And on that question, or on that particular thing, I will say, well, good, or as Elvira would say, unpleasant dream.
Indeed. Jim, you have a good evening. Bye now.
Bye.
It's our buddy Jim calling from a snowy place not too far from here. All right, well, we'll know soon enough. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in this evening. And thanks to James and John. And thanks to Kevin and Steve for their help in knocking out some of the fundraising. We will close the program at 185 to go, and hopefully some of it will come down later on through the course of the evening. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you, Midweek Pinch Hit Utility. Chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, And on this evening, you know, thanks to the decent people who knocked on doors and made phone calls trying to save the state of Alabama from a child predator and a monster. Regardless of which way this goes, they deserve thanks, because it's a hell of a lot harder to do this work in a place like Alabama than some other places in this country. You want a picture of courage? Look at the people who stood up for Doug Jones in Alabama. I don't care what Alex, the precious purity commentator said. It takes guts. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.